Powered by Reb Media in partnership with TSN, this is Season 5. This is Episode 61, Playoff Edition, of the Ray and Dregs Hockey Podcast. And it is presented by our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey. Ray, have you tried the Canadian Club Ginger Ale yet? It's different. Hold on now.
I have not. Okay. Give me the word. Give me the word.
It's crisp and refreshing, and it is a true alternative to beer. It's well-balanced flavors of ginger, subtle notes of rye and spice, and the new formula, because you and so many of us are health conscious, 30% less sugar, 20% fewer calories. It is delicious. The Canadian Club Ginger Ale. So look forward to that in your near future.
That will be a staple at this house. I can guarantee you that.
Good luck holding on to it. Because
no chance. I got those mongrels that my older kids come in and it's just poof, gone.
All right. Plenty to talk about in headlines. We'll get there momentarily, but it makes sense. Out of respect, we have a quick thought on the passing of Bob Cole, legendary play-by-play, man. Saturday nights, the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm sure it was the same in your house growing up. I mean, just a staple of the week, right? The big booming voice of Mr. Cole. Hello, Canada hockey fans in the United States and Newfoundland. So, sadly, Bob Cole passed away yesterday, but so many great memories, and I'm sure both as a player and as a broadcaster, Ray, you would have crossed paths with Bob many, many times over the years.
Yeah, never had the chance to work with him, which would have, of course, been something. I think we probably all have calls of his in our head that, you know, that you just, with other great broadcasters, you probably don't have. And it was Bob's delivery. I go back to the first one that I can recall that sticks with me is they're going home. And it was just like his delivery, the way everything was short and quick and to the point. And I always had this feeling like he didn't ever really want anybody to notice that he was there.
Right.
Like he always kind of was around the outsides of the scrums and things, and then
would never upstage anything, right?
Never have to really ask anything, because the coaches kind of would seek him out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because and trust me, when you're around a scrum, that does not happen. Like, coaches do not seek out people from the media.
No, not very often.
But, you know, his Lemieux call on Bourque, the one against Minnesota.
Yeah.
Joe Sakic scores in Salt Lake. There was just a simplicity to his call that made it just perfect. The other thing is, like, with the very, very cream of the crop, and, you know, I mean, Bob is the standard that everybody will be measured against, is you don't have to be watching the game to know what's going on. All of a sudden you could be doing something and then you'd hear his voice and you're like, I better turn around.
Exactly.
Right? And I just thought he was, for so many of us, he was a big part of our Saturday nights, and you know, best to the family, and we could all be so lucky to get to 90 and live the memories and the life that he did.
Agreed. Absolute national treasure. All right, time for your headlines, Ray, brought to you by Tim Hortons, who have introduced the new Greatest Duos set. Three cards in each pack with a chance to find a collect-to-win golden prize card and win duos-themed prizes, including a 2024 Hyundai Venue or a 2024 Hyundai Elantra. You can also win a trip to Montreal to watch a Canadiens game and meet and greet with Canadiens captain Nick Suzuki. How about a $500 Tim's card and a $500 Esso gift card? Phenomenal prizes available only at Tim's. So we're recording episode 61 of the Ray and Dregs podcast on Friday morning. So let's go to last night, Thursday night. And let's start with the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. So Matthew Tkachuk scores two. Florida upends Tampa Bay at Amalie Arena. That's six straight losses now on home ice for the Tampa Bay Lightning. How do you explain that, other than in this series, Florida is just that much better?
Well, I mean that's one for sure. How you lose six in a row at home, I think things go bad. You lose a couple, then pretty soon everybody's a little uneasy. There's a little stress, a little pressure. The guys notice it. You know, they notice the tension in the building because the fans are under stress. Like they want to cheer, and there's not much to
Sure.
cheer
Yeah.
about of late. And they're, you know, I picked Florida in the series. I think most people probably did. And if you didn't, you were hanging on to what Tampa used to be, not what Tampa is.
Yeah.
There's a difference between the teams. And even without Sam Bennett, you know, Florida is bigger and stronger and has more depth. You know, you look at the series, I guess, and if you're going to sum it up, it's Kucherov doesn't have any goals. He's got three assists, looks tied up in knots. And one thing that is pretty evident is like Florida gets a guy up in his face, and if he gets by that guy, they got another guy right there. And they're basically saying, if somebody else can beat us, go ahead, but it's not going to be you. And the other big story is in most of Tampa's games, Vasilevsky's the best goalie. And he's just not been in this series. And it's got really nothing to do with him and everything to do with Sergei Bobrovsky, who in each game has made at least one showstopper. Like he's been awesome. Awesome. One other thing I'll say about this series is it got, as I was watching the end of the game, I'm like, I wonder if Stamkos has one home game left in Tampa.
See, my gut
Right?
tells
Like,
me he's Crosby-like, you know, in terms of the history.
yeah, what if
If they
it's not
don't
his
find a way to get
choice?
that done, well, that's true. If I gotta believe that ownership of the Tampa Bay Lightning, though, is going to put some heat on Julian Breezeball and say, okay, the cap's going up. You need to figure it out and prioritize keeping Steven Stamkos in a Tampa Bay Lightning sweater. I mean, maybe that's too romantic. I don't know, but that's how I
Well,
feel.
it is and it isn't. I mean, where it is you got to be careful you don't pay for something you remember and not what is. But Stamkos scored 40 goals this year,
He's a
right?
good
Like
player.
he's still a very, very dangerous shooter. The trouble would be like, and of course we wouldn't know, and heck, it doesn't sound like he knows, like what term are they talking about? What, because the term I think could probably be more an issue than
Agreed.
the dollar figure. I think the dollars they could probably come to some kind of agreement. Have you given any thought to what his number would be?
I haven't, but I do feel at this stage of his career, you got to be willing to leave a little on the table, right? I mean, whatever that is, it has to be something. It's not to shift it over to Toronto, but if John Tavares wants to stay in Toronto,
No, he's
he's
not
not
making
getting 11
11.
million. You know, that's
He's
just not going to
getting
happen.
half of that.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
But
Agreed.
I just thought of it when they went by him on the bench after the empty netter, and I was like, ooh, I wonder if that's it. You know, which would be crazy bizarre if it
Oof.
was.
Well, it'll be a primary story at the end of this series, and obviously until we find out whether he's staying or he's going to test the open market. So we'll keep an eye on that. What about the Hurricanes beating the Islanders 3-2? They now lead that series 3-0. You mentioned goaltending of Bobrovsky and the Florida Panthers. How about Freddie Anderson? I mean, he's been close to stellar through the first 3 games for the Hurricanes.
So I just checked because I didn't know, and I was like, Freddie Anderson has played 19 games this year, and he's 17-2 this year. And he missed that 3 month stretch when they found,
Blood clots.
fortunately, blood clots that, and holy smokes, I mean, that could have been a disaster, but he's in each game. He has made every save he's had to, including a couple spectacular ones. The one yesterday where he clipped heels with, I think it was Anders Lee in front of the net, and he fell down. And I mean, that's the tying goal. I mean, it probably would have got challenged, but I don't know. It would have gone in the net. But man, the Canes are good.
Ooh.
They're just really solid. Now, it sounds like Pesci's out longer than shorter,
Right.
which is a big loss for them. They swarm you. They're all, their top line now with Gensel and Aho and
Yeah.
Svechnikov is that's a big boy line. They
Right.
can play that. And then on the other side of the coin, so like Sorokin makes his first start, doesn't make it out of the second period. Barzal's got one assist. Horvat's got a goal. And
Yeah.
Dobson's got no points. He had 70 during the regular
Yeah.
season.
Yeah.
And there maybe is, season playoffs, everything's so packed in. And like those teams that are down 3-0, like they're done. I mean, like
Yeah.
they're not winning four straight against not against those opponents.
No. So we mentioned Stamkos and what might be in his future, whether it's in Tampa Bay or elsewhere, and somewhat off the ice. I'm curious as to what the Hurricanes are doing with Rod Brind'Amour and the coaching staff of the Hurricanes, because I'm getting all kinds of interesting intel on that. Is there an offer? Has that offer been pulled? What is, like, if Rod Brind'Amour, whenever the season ends for Carolina, goes into the off season without an ironclad extension, can you imagine what he gets in terms of interest, on the open market if he gets there? Holy smokes,
Okay,
playing
so
with fire.
that's interesting, Dregs, because
Yeah.
if you're what's interesting on several fronts, but if you're say you're thinking about your coach or you don't have a coach, are you not just gonna wait a
Yeah.
little bit here just to see if that becomes
Of
even a
course.
possibility?
Yeah.
And there might be a lot of teams that, oh, I like my coach. Oh, wait a minute, I don't like him as much anymore. And I've gotten this thing over the years, like it's the owner's team. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
If that is, if that's what, if Rod Brind'Amour becomes a free agent, that's Greg Norman with a 5-shot lead on the back nine at the Masters and losing. Like that's what it is.
Yeah.
It is a collapse. Like there's just everything about Brind'Amour and Carolina fits.
Yeah.
And if they think they could be the same team with a different coach, they
No.
won't be. And there's
No.
just sometimes you can look all over the place, but the best answer is right under your nose.
Yeah. Well, look, smart money suggests they'll get it done, right? I mean, you can't, for all the reasons you've just articulated here, like,
Yeah, but
anyway.
Dregs, how was it a couple years ago? He went right down to the wire because they didn't want to pay his assistants.
Yeah.
So it's not just Rod, it's the other guys too on that
And
staff.
there's been more of that this time around, Ray. There's been more of that this time around. And man, I admire Brind'Amour, right? Like, it's not just about Rod, it's about making sure that his fellows are looked after. I
And
mean,
also,
that's as high
but that's the
class as it
thing is,
gets.
it is for sure, but it's also a realization that it's not me, it's us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
you say I'm a great coach. No, I'm saying we're a great staff.
Agreed.
And that is not always done.
All right. Well, I didn't mean to derail, but it just came to mind
Yep.
because I'm like, it's just stuff that you hear, over the course of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So it probably will be a headline in the future coming out of Carolina. How about the Rangers and the Caps going into action tonight, right? Just too many weapons for the New York Rangers
Oh
and too little for the Washington Capitals at this point.
yeah. Yeah, I just don't. In particular, since Washington is playing without one third of their defense, right? Like they don't have Sandin and who else? Am I, oh, Nick Jensen. And so one third of their defense is gone, and so they've got all these young guys playing in their place. It was a borderline miracle that Washington made the playoffs anyway. And, they played well in game two. I did that game and they played well. And they
Yeah.
don't have enough. And even if you do pressure, you get down to the other end of the ice and Shesterkin is just, he's just one of the best.
He is, yeah.
He's playing very well. The Rangers look good. They really do. They look a little different than the past. And one of the big changes that's happened is when Jacob Trouba got hurt, they moved Braden Schneider from the third pair up to play with Keandre Miller. And you know how all these great coaching decisions sometimes are just by like luck or
Sure.
and so they put these two kids together. Well, kids, I mean, I guess they are. They're under 23 years old or 24 years old. And they're like, we're not taking those guys apart. So
Yeah.
Trouba is playing on the third pair with Erik Gustafsson. So that's a pretty damn good third pair, isn't it? And so
Pretty solid.
Miller and Schneider are getting all the top line assignments. And of that, Ovi just is, he's not the Ovi of old.
He's
Like
not.
the pace is more than he can handle right now.
Yeah.
And in game one, he doesn't generally show his frustration much. He slammed the door beside me more times than I can remember. And like, that's not really him. Once in a while, yeah, sure. But man, like, I'm like, oof, he's frustrated. Like, he had no shots in game one, and I think one in game two, and was not really a factor in either game.
All right, let's forecast what could happen, should happen tomorrow being Saturday. In Toronto, the Leafs, the Boston Bruins, Brad Marchand with a big game, game two, obviously, a couple of goals there. The goalie rotation in Boston, we've talked about on the podcast before. It's just wild. I don't know why we keep second guessing and wondering what Jim Montgomery and the staff there are doing because it works. I mean, Swayman has been lights out good in two games in this series. Ullmark's fine. I mean, the data suggests that Auston Matthews is better against Linus Ullmark. But the goalie union doesn't seem too happy with this rotation. But it works in Boston, right?
Well, yeah, except if you go back exactly 12 months, the goalie union was pissed that he went away from the goalie rotation and they went with Ullmark for six in a row. Like you can't have it both ways. He
No.
said about a month ago that if we're getting into a goalie rotation, we'll probably go through four games and then decide from there.
Yeah.
That's what he said a month ago. Now, Swayman has been so good in games one and two. Is it possible you go to him in game four? For me, I think it is it's a real possibility they come back with Swayman.
Okay.
And if he loses, they go to Ullmark in game five.
Yeah.
But I was not the least bit surprised that Ullmark came out for game two. Not at all. But they both look, there's a I did the game, so I have this stat in my head. In 1972, the Bruins won the Stanley Cup. Jerry Cheevers and
Yep.
Eddie Johnston were the goalies. They each won 27 games in the regular season. They each won six games in the playoffs. In the finals, Johnston played games four and five, the Bruins and the Rangers, split them. And Cheevers came back in game six and got a shutout and they won the Stanley Cup. So
Yeah.
like they use both goalies in the finals. The last two Stanley Cup teams have used Stanley Cup winners have used multiple goalies. Like
Yep.
it's not like it used to be. You don't have Marty Brodeur that's going to play 26 straight games. There's
Yeah.
very few of those guys that are available. And sometimes it'll happen. Like if Florida goes all the way, will Bobrovsky play every game? I guess it's possible, sure.
Yeah, it's
But they got a
possible.
back. They got a backup that has a 920 save percentage. So maybe Anthony Stolarz at one point gets a game.
Maybe.
So yeah, that's one of it. The other thing is, if you know the phrase "the rock in the shoe," how big a rock is Brad Marchand in Toronto's shoe? Because
He just gets in the kitchen, man.
oh, he's
He's
banging
always in
pots around there. He
there.
is like. And the bigger the game is, it seems like he doesn't always score in them, but he pulls it to him. Like
Always
he
something.
wants it. And so last year, coming into the playoffs, he had two goals in 18 games. Scored four goals in the first round against Florida. This year, he's got 2 goals in 16 games coming into the playoffs.
Yeah.
No goals in the first 2 games. He's got 2 now.
Yeah.
Like, he just, the moment's big, and he's there. Mm-hmm. And I really thought Toronto Dregs was going to come out and just storm them early. You know, Boston made a couple of changes on the blue line, one through injury and
yeah,
one through a substitution. And I was quite surprised that Toronto didn't dominate the early portion of that game anyway.
So I want your opinion, your read on 2 factors here. One, does it matter? I don't know. The other one definitely does. And that's the likelihood of William Nylander entering this series.
Matters.
Yeah, as has been reported, it's believed he's been dealing with a migraine issue, which he's had in his past. So if he's good to go, what does that bring to the Leafs? And then follow that up with a lot of pissing and moaning over how quiet that building is, Scotiabank, right? And the only reason that matters to me, Ray, is I just came from an environment in Winnipeg with the whiteout. Okay, we're comparing apples to oranges, but when you have Jared Bednar, Nate McKinnon, Kyle McCarr, the Avalanche, talking about how they could feel the energy in that building, Canada Life Center in Winnipeg, then that tells me it does matter, not just to the Leafs, maybe to the Bruins. So those two kind of storylines as we get ready for Game 4.
Well, I'm going to add one more, and I'll start there because you didn't get to it. That's Mitch Marner. And oh boy, he was really quiet the other night.
Nice pass on the power play.
Beautiful play. Right? Yeah. Beautiful play. And I'm not saying that, that it's a 3-point night that you need to have all the time, but the impact on the game is just not there. Now, I don't know if he's really healthy. He doesn't look like he's skating the same to me. I've seen a couple of times where he comes out of a turn and it just doesn't look as fluid.
Yeah, yeah. I think they play him too much, like 23 plus minutes.
That's one thing, sure, but it just doesn't look the same to me.
Yeah.
Like, his skating does not look the same. And he's probably in his own head a little bit. I don't think there's any question, but they're going to need much more than hit from him. Nylander's a game changer for them because that's going to be about 18 or 20 minutes that somebody else isn't playing, that he's playing, that we know how he can change a game. He can change a power play.
Yeah.
They've missed him a lot. As for the building, it's inevitable that when you have a corporate crowd, it's just not going to be the same. It's just not, because and Toronto, we know it is, right? We just know it is. And even, look, New York's got more of a corporate crowd at MSG than it used to have, because that place used to be wild. Like, honestly, it was a circus.
Yeah.
Circus. It was wild. New Yorkers are different than Torontonians. They just are. Right? So if it's both corporate crowds, the corporate crowd in New York's going to be way louder than the one in Toronto. And the fans that would make the most noise lots of times don't get to go. And it's kind of a reality, and it's sad because those people would love to be going. And they're there and they're watching at watch parties, or they're at home or in bars or whatever, and they're so loud watching, but they're not in the building. So I think that's it's a thing. It is. Now
it is.
If you go to an event and you go, I got 2 tickets and I'm going to go, or you're salivating at the thought of going, there's going to be a different noise from you, a different energy. And Toronto, look, let's not pretend this is the first time Toronto's been a little quiet in that building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's generally a quieter building than some of the more raucous buildings. And like I said, I was going back and forth between MSG and TD Garden, and then I did the game in Toronto, and there was a difference in the volume for sure.
All right, about 8 minutes or so to zip through the next 4 games, and there's some big ones on the docket tonight, being Friday. Winnipeg take on Colorado in Denver. goaltending is a theme, right? It is every single year in most of the series here. No different between the Avs and the Jets. Did you have Connor Hellebuyck giving up 10 goals in two games on your bingo card?
No.
This series?
I did not.
No,
did not. And it's wild to think of, right? And so now they got to go win a game at Denver, and the Avs murder people in Denver. Like, it is their home record is it's the best in the league, and they play at a pace there.
Yeah.
That is like that. This first 10 minutes, when you talk about a home team coming out and dominating at 10 minutes, the Jets are going to have to take a couple of body blows here. And then, so part of that is you focus on the goalie and you're like, man, Hellebuck's got to be Vezina Hellebuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like he's going to have to be to get through the first, whatever it is, 7 or 10 minutes, you know, till really till that second commercial break when things will kind of settle down a little bit. But I am surprised that the Jets have and Hellebuyck have sprung a leak to, you know, to the 10 goals. That's a surprise for me.
And if Georgiev plays as well as he did in game two, Winnipeg has a problem.
All he has to do is not fumble the ball. Like they don't need him to make 18 great saves. I'm telling you, though, you know how some coaches are, they get to the podium and you can just see they're like trying to thread a needle and they're uptight and they're, Jared Bednar gets down there. I call it the farmer honesty. Like, you know, like he just sits down and they said, what's the difference? And he goes, our defensive details can't be a sometimes thing. They got to be an all the time thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, he basically told everybody on that team, what we were doing is not good enough.
Yeah.
Sometimes we play, sometimes we don't. We have to play all the time. And like, he's very straightforward and honest. And what ends up happening, and I don't know why, if I were managing a team, I would want my coach to watch certain guys. Bednar's one of them. Paul Maurice is another. They are, just to name a two off the top of my head, John Cooper, of course. Now, these are all veteran guys, right? So they probably feel a little more secure in it. But they give you a little truth, like a little truth bomb. And then there is no more other questions. Like, there's nothing else to say. You're like, what else are you going to say after he says it's got to be an all-the-time thing? Like so I just think it's a way to take pressure off all of it. And I wish more coaches would do it, because I think it would be helpful.
We'll move on to the Canucks and the Preds here. Yep. But just to wrap up, I had a quick chat with Cade Landeskog in the elevator in Winnipeg the other day. And then he followed up. He was on the ice in a tracksuit, right? Just an extension of the coaching staff. Oh, so many great individuals in the National Hockey League, but he's upper tier for me. You know, he just is. He's just a high quality guy, right?
And it's just, it's really sad.
That, it is.
You know, like, and I know we got to go kind of quick here, but, you know, the last game he played, you know what it was?
Stanley Cup final.
Game six.
Yeah.
Game six in Tampa. They win the Stanley Cup. He hasn't played since. What do you think he felt like in that game? Like,
terrible.
Terrible. And he had to hurt every stride.
Oh.
And so basically knowing, it's like when Stamkos scored a couple of years ago in the bubble, when he came back and played, like, I think he played one shift and he scored.
Yeah.
And then he had off-season surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you talk about the sacrifice these guys make.
Yeah.
Like, for Landeskog, this is a, whatever he had, the actual mechanism of that surgery in his knee, that's a lifetime issue here.
It is.
You know, so, like, I admire the courage and the toughness and the desire to win. Like, I don't know that we can quite understand it unless you're there. And so I wish him all the best, because you're right. He is just a, man, he is, you call him upper tier. That's exactly what he is.
Canucks Preds race series tied at one. The obvious headline blow for the Canucks is the loss of Thatcher Demko. So, you know, aside from the obvious, I mean, how does this stress that lineup? What do you need to see more of for the Canucks to regain the edge?
Well, you're not taking one of the best five goaltenders in the game out of your lineup and replacing him with the same. That's just not there. So, Casey DeSmith has shown in the past in short spurts, he can be a legit, like a starter. Now, how many games in a row that is, I don't know. He had a couple of bad bounces the other night, like
Did he ever?
oh, his first shot goes in the net. It's going 18 feet wide and it deflects in and you're like,
Terrible. I
really?
felt bad for him.
And then he doesn't get another shot for 5 minutes. So the series for Vancouver turns really on two things. One is the, and maybe they're interlocked, is their power play, because they had plenty of chances early in game one, or game two rather, to put that game away. They didn't score. And number two is Elias Pettersson. And he
You're
is
going.
clear, he is clearly in his own head. He's stressed about, he shoots when he get when it's going to get blocked. He holds it when it's not going to get blocked. Like he is, I would compare him and Marner a little bit. It looks like they're thinking their way around the ice instead of reacting their way around the ice. And both of them have great instincts to the game. They both see it. They both know where the opening is. They know where the danger is. Yet they're both kind of picking their way around the ice. It just doesn't work that way. And the Canucks need Pettersson to just go and just play. Like they need that. And can he find it? Did he find it on the flight to Nashville and a day off? They have to hope so.
Some pushback from the Los Angeles Kings.
Oh yeah.
Perseverance in overtime, man, in game two. Spoiled a nice game by Dylan Holloway comes in. Two goals there. Power play clicking for the Edmonton Oilers. So how much more life do you think LA now has given that win?
Well, I don't think anybody thought they were an easy out, right?
No,
And
no.
they'll make you work for what you have to do. For the Oilers, I think, it's just about tightening up the back end of their game, and that certainly includes Skinner in goal. He's just been okay, and he's going to have to be better, A, because they're on the road, but B, because he's going to have to be better. That's just the way it is. How about those old dogs in LA, eh? I mean, Doughty with a goal and leading the NHL in ice time this year, and Kopitar gets the two goals. I love this explanation on the winner. They said, what happened? He goes, oh, I don't know. I was just kind of hanging out in the middle of the ice and then not sure how the puck came there, and then I had a shot. I was like, well, I guess that's it. But there is a they're the last of the championship guys, right? And they're still difference makers, but I think the Oilers just have too much here. Now they're going to have to go grind one out in LA, but I think they've got too much.
All right, final thought here in headlines on Vegas and the Dallas Stars.
Oh
And
boy.
we raved about Dallas with due reason. I mean, this team was so good in the regular season, and as we talked about earlier in the week on the podcast, I mean, okay, you run the West, you wake up and oh yeah, okay, we've got Vegas in round one, and oh geez, shocking, there's Mark Stone. Yeah, there's Alex Pietrangelo, off the operating table. Let's get going. And now the Dallas Stars are in a pretty big hole.
I think the thing about this that surprises me the most, Dregs, is Dallas had 8 20 goal scorers this year, and they had 21 shots in a felt like almost a must win in game two. Like they had 21 shots. And so, yes, Logan Thompson made some really good saves. Remember last year it was Adin Hill, and now it's Logan Thompson. And it's like you just shake your head sometimes at the team that Vegas has put together.
Oof.
Because it's not like people were jumping up and down and saying, oh, we've got to get Logan Thompson or we've got to get Adin
No,
Hill, right?
no.
Like, no chance. Logan Thompson was in the East Coast League. Adin Hill, they got him for a fourth round pick, right? So, like, that team is just. When they're right, oh boy, nobody wants them. And I would say, even though nobody said it, because you just don't coming down the stretch, you're like, not Vegas for me.
Man,
I'll take
it's a tough out.
anybody else. Last year, conference final, Vegas won the first three games against Dallas. Dallas came back and won two, and then Vegas put them away in Dallas. And so now they're down two. A clearly must win for Dallas, clearly.
It is. All right, those are your headlines. Thank you to Tim Hortons.
Tim's Greatest Duos trading cards with two iconic players on every card, like Matthew and Brady Tkachuk or Brady and Keith Tkachuk. Rivals, family, and more connected like never before. Tim's Greatest Duos trading cards.
Our interviews on Ray and Driggs brought to us by Canadian Club 1858 Original. It's the flagship whiskey for Canadian Club. Really where it all began, aged over 3 years in oak barrels before being bottled. And the result, you got to try it. It's the smoothest possible flavor. It's spicy. It's zesty. There's hints of rich oak and sweet vanilla. That is Canadian Club 1858. A couple of quick questions, Ray. Ask Ray and Driggs anything. You can submit your questions to us on X and Instagram at Ray and Driggs or on our website, rayanddriggs.com. And if you're following on the YouTube channel, you can see that Ray and Driggs have the FootJoy uniform on today. So let's dedicate Ask Ray and Driggs anything to FootJoy and our good friend Mitch Dawson for supplying us. Fantastic. What do we call it? Outerwear? Just a pullover? Yeah. How would you describe it? It's very nice. It's very
cardigan. Pullover. How does he know where we're going?
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, if you don't
know.
I know you did, but it just in case those younger folks that don't quite know the classic.
Mm-hmm.
How does he know where we're going? Anyway, it just in time too, because golf is here.
There's a crispness in the air. Sometimes and this is a little something.
This is it. And we're traveling the other day. You're not outside. You're just in the airport. And
more looks than usual for you, right?
See, well, yeah. You know, of course. I need all the help I can get. Let's be honest. But super stuff. And Mitch, thank you very much. Really, really appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you, FootJoy. Okay. First question. Larry Berg. I think Larry has submitted before. Anyway, Ray, can you recall a teammate that had exceptional talent, but often didn't display it in games for various reasons? So someone that would look lights out, just amazing in practice, but it just wouldn't equate in games. I'm not even sure you'd want to name a name because
it's a tough one, right? Yeah, I don't know where he's going with this. I mean, like, there's always players that you go, oh my God, they have, when they're applied to the game, they're so much better. I'll name one because he was one of my favorite teammates. I think I'm just going through the roster. I think he's the most talented guy I ever played with, and he had a great career, but there were times you felt like there was another gear, and that's Alex Kovalev.
Interesting.
Like, Kovey was so good. We'd play 3-on-3 after practice. If you were on Kovey's team, you won. Like, it didn't even matter who else was playing in the game. Kovey would get the puck, and he'd hold on to it till he didn't want it anymore. And, you know, there were times when you'd go, geez, he doesn't feel it tonight. And then there were times you'd be like, all we got to do is just skate around and find some open ice, and Al's going to deke that one defenseman 4 times. And then throw it over, and I'm going to shoot it in the net. Like, that's what it felt like playing with him. And so I'll mention Alex, but it's not like it's a guy that never played.
I like it.
Yeah. He's so good. So good.
All right. One more. And then we've got Landplane, Gino. Dryden Mortimer is asking, if it somehow became your job to produce a movie like Moneyball, but with NHL general managers, what GM would be the Brad Pitt character? Billy Beane, right? It goes back to the Oakland A's in 2002 when Sabermetrics was brought in by the A's at that point. I'm thinking Kelly McCrimmon, but it's not like Kelly McCrimmon as... correct me if I'm wrong, the premise of the 2002 Oakland A's was to be a low budget team, but using sabermetrics to compete with a lower budget with the bigger clubs in baseball. So Vegas is always spent to the cap and then some.
I don't know. I guess I would I'm just looking at the playoff teams here, and I guess I would try and find somebody that's doing it maybe just differently. Right. Like,
Like McCrimmon was the first guy I thought of because they're doing it differently. Now, they have an owner willing to give them all kinds of money to be able to do this. So, which was clearly not the same in Moneyball. I mean, part of the trade was the one guy had to furnish Oakland with, he had to fill his soda machine for the rest of the year. That was part of the deal, right? Like that's not what we're talking about.
I've got a name.
I'm going to throw one out here is Billy Zito in Florida. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the reason I say is because they've made some really shrewd moves over the course of his short tenure. Yeah. And so those are a couple, maybe Jim Nill in Dallas. They have so many draft picks of their own. I would say those are kind of standing out. Who you got?
Kyle Dubas. Just because he fits that sort of MO. Now, Pittsburgh is a cap team, right? Toronto was a cap team. So again, to apply the lower budget, it really
doesn't fit. Well, put it this way. If he can unstick Pittsburgh, I'll jump on the train because there is a hairball there that they've got to deal with. I mean, like, they're trying to do two things at the same time. They want to get younger and get more prospects, and they want to stay competitive in Crosby's window.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't do the two things.
So I got a quick Dave Nonis, Cousin Dave story that dates back to Dave being the GM in Toronto and Kyle working with him, right? And Dave would say, Kyle would come in almost on a daily basis and say, hey, waivers are out. We should put a claim on this player because without question, he is going to get claimed. And Dave would go, he's not getting claimed. He just didn't see it the same way Kyle did. And so they'd bet a bottle of wine. I'll bet you a bottle of wine. And probably not cheap stuff. It's probably not the baby duck.
Baby duck.
Nona says, you know, at the end of the season, he had like 16 bottles of red in the corner of his office because Kyle was this young upstart, you know, soon to be general manager who had these ideas. Oh, that player isn't clearing waivers. There's no chance.
But anyway. one of the things, and the reason I like that question is, of course, it's different sport to sport, but is that the reality is Oakland didn't have any money and they had to find a new way to do it. They had to find a new way. And we might not be talking apples to apples, but I think the answer is who does it a little bit differently? And because that's really what the question is. And
excellent question.
It's a great question. I'm thinking of GMs around the league now, and I'm like, man, that's pretty cool.
Thanks, Dryden. Thank you, Larry. All right, you're on dad duty, so we've got to get out of here. What's the weekend look like for you? Travel plans?
I got home for the weekend. As you may have heard, the NFL draft is on.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, so we get a break here this weekend. I fly to Boston on Monday for Game 5 of the Bruins and Leafs on Tuesday. And after that, my schedule's wide open because we don't know who's going to still be playing or who's not playing. So Cammy's in Nashville with the Canucks. And so obviously be watching the Canucks tonight. But soccer games, one Saturday, two Sunday. I'm pumped to be able to watch the boys.
Yeah,
I just love watching you, Drake. You've talked about this. Watching your kids do the thing they love is just the best. Yeah. And I just love it. I love their excitement and their energy to go play the games. But right now I'm going to get upstairs and cook breakfast and hopefully not screw up the drive to school because I think I got it organized, but I might not.
All right, buddy. Well, all of that, enjoy it. I know you will.
You'll be in studio, I assume, this weekend?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Game 4. We don't, you know, in studio in Toronto, it's all about James Duthie and we don't seem to care as much about the other Canadian teams. It's really all about the Maple Leafs. So I'll be in studio for Game 4.
Does James bring in any of his swing aids to work on between?
No, he brings in this massage gun. So he's constantly with this rechargeable thing, like, you know, hitting his lower back and his shoulder. I mean, the guy golfs like 190 rounds a year.
You'd think he'd be better.
He's not bad though, Ray. He's not bad.
I know.
Low single digits. I got to defend Jimmy. He's not bad.
Well, he should be. Bad. He's got every swing aid. He is, he played the other day. He said, I would have invited you out. He said, but it snowed. He called himself the Tiger Woods of cold weather golf.
He does. He plays in no matter the conditions. Like maybe a 75-kilometer gale force wind, and he's out there. All right. Well, enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, you too, Drake.
Busy times ahead.
We'll talk after the weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the playoffs.
And thank you to our sponsors who continue to support Ray and Driggs and make the pod possible. Our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, and Tim Hortons. Until next time, yes, enjoy the playoffs, everybody.